This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Thank you. With the NBA back, the games inside the bubble in Orlando, very compelling. And we're joined here by Tim Roy for a review of the first weekend back. Tim, your impressions as this race toward the playoffs heats up?
Well, it's been very interesting. You would think that teams that don't have anything to play for would, you know, kind of coast their way through. But I think their competitive instincts, you know, kind of fire on different cylinders, and they rise to the occasion. Case in point, yesterday, Boston and Portland. It's a huge game for Portland. They made a great comeback in that game, and then, wow, at the end, you know, they just couldn't get it done. And that's if they could have won that game, they would be in the number 9 spot. But I'll get to that later. But overall, I think it's been pretty good. Most of the teams have come out and have a really good effort, I think. And what's interesting to me is that we've seen some lopsided scores. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what that means. And I think that part of it is that, say, you play and you have a great win, okay, and then you get in the locker room, but it's not like a normal win. So because usually you get on a plane, you're with the guys, they're, you know, having, everybody's celebrating the win, having fun, or you go home, you see your family and friends, and you celebrate that win and get that feeling. Instead, you go back to a hotel, and it's kind of, you know, claustrophobic, and you're, I think the emotions of this during a pandemic, I don't think we've factored that in. And I think it's one reason we've seen some lopsided scores.
You know, some of these players feeling very comfortable in the bubble. And I'll tell you, since 2010, 3 players have had 50-plus points in a game while taking fewer than 5 free throws in that game. Warriors guards Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and now, as of this restart in Orlando, TJ Warren of the Pacers.
Warren for 3.
50 spot. Give him a 50 spot right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the bench was up.
How about that? You know, the one thing about T.J. Warren we've known since he came into the league was he's a bucket getter. He just scores. And what he did the other day against Philadelphia, I mean, you're 20 of 29 from the field. That's an incredible number. And he did it in a very competitive game. And it's a game that obviously, you know, the Sixers really wanted to get that game. You know, Philadelphia's in a situation where, you know, they're right there with Indiana. That was for the 5th spot, that game was. And so, and to get it in a very competitive game, and, you know, he's just a, you know, you could put him out in a parking lot with a basket with no lights, and he's going to find a way to score.
You know, James Harden, another early standout, 49 points in an overtime win over Dallas on Friday, joining ESPN's Rachel Nichols after the game.
We just want to be playing well on both ends of the ball, offensively and defensively. Our communication, you know, tonight was a really good start. Obviously, we made a lot of mistakes, but we'll watch film on that tomorrow, and then be better the next day.
Well, I was bragging on your conditioning, how you've been running the steps up and down at the hotel. How do you feel now that you're getting back in
there? You can't be telling everybody my secrets, man.
My whole job is to tell everyone your secrets,
I feel
James.
Good. Overtime game for the first game of regular season in a long time, and I think my body held up, you know, very, very well. So I'm just proud of my guys for keep fighting and keep competing.
Excellent. Thank you so much, James.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Rich.
It. Back to you guys.
You know, the beard secrets and the rocket secret seems to be looking hungry and being focused in the bubble, beating the Mavs Friday and then the Bucks on Sunday, Tim.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, because you would think, okay, the urgency when you have from 3 to 6 and you have 4 teams within a game and a half, you would think, oh, the urgency would be to get home court, try to get to 4 or 3 and get home court. There's no home court in this particular scenario. So what's the motivation? Well, the motivation might be to find the best matchup for you so that you can get to a second round and maybe play one of the LA teams. So to me, it's going to be really curious to see how this plays out. Denver's currently in third. Houston and Utah are tied, though I believe Houston has the tiebreaker in that situation for four. I think that would be a fabulous first-round series, with this caveat: in years gone by, the team that Utah really doesn't match up well with is Houston. I think they'd like to get the three and get Houston off their dance card, at least for the first round or so. So I think it's going to be really curious. Oklahoma City, they just found chemistry this year. Dallas hasn't won a game yet in the bubble, but they qualify for the playoffs because of losses behind them. And so, you know, now as you look at the West, I think you're seeing, you know, this Houston team that's playing small. I think they've got the good chemistry right now. Westbrook and Harden were really starting to figure it out in the latter stages of the regular season before the stoppage. So I don't know if I'd want to play Houston in a playoff series this year.
Yeah, and as you said, it's the teams that are behind Dallas that really are the intrigue point in the Western Conference right now, is Memphis, like Dallas, also, as we tape this, have not won a game inside the bubble yet. They've been close games and really compelling games in some of these cases. But I've got to say, this race for eight, or if it's a game that's the play-in with nine and eight, do you see somebody other than Memphis facing the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs? Or can Memphis hold this?
Well, I look at a couple of things. One is that you look at the teams that you have 8, 9 through 13 all competing to try to get to 8 to 9 within four games. It looks like there's going to be a playing game no matter what happens. I think Memphis is okay, but they have a big game this week. Early in the week, they take on New Orleans. Neither team has won yet, and if New Orleans is going to get back into this, they have to win that game, because if they lose, then they're 4.5 back, which is not, you know, they could get to the play-in level, but they would have still Portland and, wait for it, the San Antonio Spurs ahead of them. Here, the Spurs are, to me, the most intriguing thing here, because we all kind of discounted them without LaMarcus Aldridge. So what does Greg Popovich do? He starts four guards and Jakob Poeltl the other night, and they win. They are, Jakob Poeltl was a plus 25 in their last victories. The Spurs have won their first two, and they're just doing it with these young guards around DeMar DeRozan. It's so much fun to watch, and you know, who knows? You know, like I've always said about San Antonio, you can't count them out until you're at the funeral, you know, throwing dirt on the grave, because they're always there.
You know, talk about other players who have impressed early inside the bubble, and this includes former Warrior center Manute Bol's son, Bol Bol.
Bol Bol back in. Nice feet ahead. Oh,
my
what
goodness.
A pass. Wow.
Very solid in scrimmages and now games with Denver.
You know, and it's funny, too, because he's a guy that dropped a little bit during the lottery process, and I think, you know, part of that was injury. Part of that, they weren't really sure about him and about his attitude and love for the game. But he's kind of shown everybody that he can play. And it was really fun to watch when Michael Malone rolled out his jumbo package in one of those scrimmages. What did they start, five bigs?
Mm-hmm.
That was fun to watch. But, again, they have some intriguing pieces in Denver. They have some guys who aren't playing for them right now, so that's a problem. But I think they're going to be okay. I think if they do make some noise in the postseason, I think Bol Bol will be a part of that. I think they have to find a little bit more some chemistry, you know, with their guard line right now. You know, they don't have Harris, and that's been a problem for them. And the guy who could be their X factor is Michael Porter Jr. I think he's a player that, you know, we know he's talented. You know, can he, you know, rise to the occasion and maybe, you know, not show his youth as much and be the kind of player that Denver wants him to be. So I think they have some pieces there, but I think for them to go deep, they have to find somebody on the guard line and either someone like Bol Bol or Porter Jr. to give them that youthful energy around Jokic.
You know, thinking back to that first night back of NBA action on Thursday, capped by both wins from the Jazz and Lakers, really quite an emotional night, truth be told. I mean, great to see NBA basketball back again and all of the good that it represents. On the TNT postgame, LeBron James, just after the game with Jared Greenberg, addressing just that.
Could you get a sense tonight that this game was indeed bigger than basketball?
Absolutely. The game of basketball has always been bigger than just the ball in the rim and 10 guys on the floor with referees. It's an opportunity to use this platform and be able to spread a lot of positive, a lot of love throughout the course of the whole world. We understand what's going on in society right now, and we're using this NBA platform as the players, as the coaches, as organizations to continue to stand strong on that. So this is a good start. This is a good start tonight. It's great to have the NBA back, and I hope our fans are proud of us tonight.
So many around the NBA have talked about what a special day it was earlier today, the funeral for John Lewis. You've mentioned how this is not a movement. How much progress do you think has been made with what the NBA and everyone around the NBA has done?
There's been progress, but in the past when we've seen progress, we've let our foot off the gas a little bit. We can't do that. We want to continue to keep our foot on the gas, continue to push forward, continue to spread love throughout America. We're dealing with a lot of racism, a lot of social injustice, a lot of police brutality, not only in my neighborhoods, not only with black people, but with people of color, and it's something that we want to continue to have people's ears open to. And we have ears now, but we cannot stop with our foot on the gas as we've been doing over the last few months.
I think when you look at a society and you look at, you know, the things that unite them, sometimes it can be, whether it be, you know, centuries gone by, maybe a love of the opera and the arts and things. And I think it all contributes to how a society comes together. And I think the NBA has a great role in that for a variety of reasons. The various platforms that the players and the league reach out and connect with other people on topics that are not about basketball. And let's face it, basketball is to me, it's one of the best examples of how working together you can have a greater sum. And isn't that a great message in today's world? You know, where you have five players working as one, and they become better than maybe if you took the sum of them five individually. And so I think, you know, what LeBron was talking about there is that, you know, that's the message of basketball. Working together for a common cause can bring good. And I think in this particular case, I think the NBA has brought some much-needed distraction to the pandemic, and it's brought the message of the times, and it will amplify as we go on and into the playoffs, and I think that's going to be a great thing.
All right, let's wrap things up here with listening to some of the front office business as it relates to the Warriors, with Bob Myers joining the Woj pod and looking ahead a bit.
For me, yeah, there's trade scenarios that exist, having a high pick. We don't know what pick we have. We'll find that out on the 20th. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do the back room of the lottery now, because they used to have people come in and take their phones and swear them to secrecy as they announced it. So it'll be interesting to see how we do that. But I think post lottery things will heat up. And I think GMs are still going to move forward as they always have and try to improve their team. Sure, there's things we don't know, but you trust in the league that they'll create an even playing field, whatever rules there are, they'll apply to everybody. And so you navigate that. And for us specifically, I don't know. It depends on, like I said, what number pick we get in the question as to trades. Yeah, I mean, to be truthful, we're not discussing trades with teams right now. So I don't even know if we're allowed, but we're not.
Again, Bob Myers on the Woj pod. And as we look ahead, that lottery really building some intrigue right now, Tim.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. You know, it's sort of out of context. It's like when you meet someone that you see all the time at games, and then you run into them in a coffee shop, and there's that 1 second where you're not sure who this person is, and then you realize, oh, I'm just seeing you out of context. I think that's what the lottery is gonna feel a little bit like this year. But what the lottery will do is it's gonna be a great catalyst to get the basketball conversation not only continuing with the play in the bubble, but also about next year. And so I think it's going to come at a perfect time. It's going to come right about when the playoffs are grooving, and it's going to be a nice bonus and add a little bit of a jump start to the conversation. I think it's going to be great. I think this week there's some very important games in the bubble, very important week for the Memphis Grizzlies, important week for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I mentioned early in the week that matchup, Memphis and New Orleans, and you know the winner of that team's going to feel a lot better. If Memphis loses, it's still not a crippling loss to their hopes, because again, two teams would have to pass them for them to be out. But if New Orleans loses that, their road gets a lot tougher, because now they're putting another game between them and Portland and San Antonio, and of course Sacramento is also desperate for a win, and the Phoenix Suns have opened up with a couple of victories. So I'm really intrigued this week. Eastern Conference, I think it's more in the middle. Washington losing to Brooklyn over the weekend basically has ended their hopes for getting into a play-in game. So now it's just about a matter of the matchups. But I think it's going to be an exciting time for the Warriors upcoming. And I think once that lottery hits and we get a little bit better feel, as the NBA works its way through this process, and we get a better feel for what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, I think it's going to be a real exciting offseason for the Warriors.
We love having these games back and love being able to talk to you about it all. For Tim Roy, I'm Lawrence Scott. This is Warrior Sound.
This has been Warrior Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!